You are listening to The Point from MC3 in Lewistown, Pennsylvania. Check us out on the web at mc3church.org or find us on Facebook at mc3church. MC3, it's like nothing you'd expect.
Good morning. So I have some things here that are related. First of all, there's this. Okay. Then there's this. Then there's this. So, you may or may not know how these are related. We kind of did like a little retro worship set there. And some of those songs weren't even around when you were born. And if you weren't born when some of those songs were around, you have no idea what's on my head right now. And I don't know why I just talk with an accent like that, but it makes me sound superior. So, I've got this, and this, and this, and they are from The Karate Kid. Right. And so, what is it specifically about this? And I'm not going to get it out because it's nasty. It's a paste and stuff. But between this and this, what am I supposed to do? Wax on, wax off, right? Now, just to be clear, is it like... It is not. Thank you. It is not. It is... Wait, which way is it? It's wax... No, wait, wrong one. There we go. I'm in the wrong hand. See? Okay. So, wax on... That's kind of harder. Wax on, wax off. All right, so can you just do that with me? Ready? We're going to start with your whichever hand. Pick a hand. Start with your wax on hand. All right, and let's turn on the house lights too, so we can see each other do this. And we're going to need to turn them back off in a second. But all right, ready? So wax on, wax off. All right, again, wax on, wax off. All right, very, very good. So now you know, by the way, it is not a very good way to actually wax your car because you actually need the wax to dry before you can wax off. But we're going to ignore that. We're going to suspend our disbelief for a moment because I want to talk about this very normal, I would say normal, I mean it's normal for me because I wash and wax my vehicles regularly, but a very normal kind of thing, a normal habit of wax on and wax off. And, of course, the guy that learned how to do this, the young boy whose name was Daniel's son, Daniel, had to learn to wax on and wax off. And it wasn't because The Karate Kid was about how to finish and detail your car. The Finish and Detail Kid. It was called The Karate Kid because a very basic thing, such as wax on and wax off, such as sanding the floor, such as painting the fence, such as painting the house, taught him something deeper. So, we're going to kill the house lights, and you're going to watch a quick scenario where that happens.
First, wash all the car, then wax.
What? But what do I have to wax on my car?
Remember, deal. No question.
Yeah, but...
Right. Wax on, right hand. Wax off, left hand. Wax on, wax off. Breathe in through nose, out the mouth. Wax on, wax off. Don't forget to breathe. Very important. Wax on, wax off. Wax on, wax off.
Hey, where these cars come from?
Wax on. Detroit! Wax off. Wax on. Wax off. La-da-da-da. Wax on. Right the hand, make a circle. Wax off, left hand, circle. Wax on, wax off. Breathe in, breathe out. Wax on, wax off. Wax on, wax off. Wax on, wax off.
show me wax on, wax off. Aye.
Wax on, wax off.
Wax on, wax off, eh? Wax on, hat. Wax off, hat. Concentrate. Look in my eye. Lock the hand. Thumb inside. Wax on, hat. Wax off, hat. Wax on, hat. Wax off, hat. Wax on. Wax off. Show me paint the fence. Up, down. Up, down. Up, down. Other side. Look, I always look, I. Show me paint the house. Side, side. Lock list. Side, side. Side, side. Yes. Show me wax on, wax off. Yes! 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 Show me paint the fence. Face! Face! Death! Death! Show me side to side. Death! 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 Show me stand on floor. Hat! Face! 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 Yes! Yes! Death! Death!
So, for Daniel-san, observing and doing some very normal things, wax on, wax off, paint the fence, sand the floor, which, by the way, I did it the wrong way. It's supposed to be wax on, wax off. So there you go, just in case you were like, what? He messed that movie up that I never saw because he's really old. But he was Daniel was watching these very normal things, very common things, and learned a deeper truth. And so we're starting a series today for the next 2 months. Again, I'm leaving. After this, I'm out for the next 3 weeks. And the MC3 elders are going to be teaching in my place, going through the book of Proverbs. And then I'll pick up in the month of August as well, after a fifth Sunday picnic in the middle there. And so we're going to be looking at different Proverbs over the next 2 months. And these Proverbs, we're not going to be in order. They'll just be different ones that the elders and I have picked to teach. But a proverb, just like what Daniel-san learned by observing a very normal thing, he learned a deeper truth. For him, it was karate. For him, he learned that he is the best and he can totally beat the Cobra Kai at the All Valley, I think it's All Valley tournament. But maybe that doesn't happen. Sorry, in case you haven't seen it. Maybe he loses at the end. Because that's probably what's going to happen in an 80s movie with a montage. But that might have happened. But the point is that he observed a very normal thing and learned a deeper truth. And Proverbs, as a form of literature, now I'm going to pause and step back in time for 8 weeks to the beginning of the Cropped 2 series, last series we did. The very first week of that series, we talked about studying the Bible and what it looks like and how we effectively study the Bible. And one of the things we talked about when it comes to studying the Bible is the different types of literature that are in the Bible. We've got narrative, and we've got poetry, and there's prophecy, there's the epistles or the letters in the New Testament. And another type of literature is a proverb. And so we're going to be looking at this book of Proverbs over the next 2 months. And this is a type of literature, and a proverb teaches, is an observation, and I'll get to this in a second, is an observation of a normal thing that teaches a deeper truth. That is what a proverb is. And so the point this week, dang it, I did it again. Could you get my glasses out of my bag? They're in the glasses case on the side. The point, there's something really cool on my paper, on my note here. It probably says something like this. Maybe wise up. Yeah, wise up. Whoa, that's freaky. Trippy. Okay, wise up and understand wisdom. And so what we're doing today is I am just going to set up Proverbs and wisdom as a whole, because the series is called Wise Up. Learning about what wisdom is. And it's just, yeah, there we go. And so that's what we're going to be doing all the next 2 months. And what we're going to be doing today is talking about wisdom. Thank you. There was a slightly disapproving look there. Oh, yeah, this is awesome. Oh, I got some amazing stuff. So I need to take this off. I'm sorry. If you have hair, you probably are normal, used to things. It's so hot. Okay. Oh, did it leak? Is there like a blue mark on my head? Okay, good. All right. Okay, so anyway, what we're going to be doing is we're going to be starting today in Proverbs chapter 1. And so we're going to hit the house lights again. And if you have a Bible, a paper Bible, you can turn to Proverbs 1. It's about halfway through your Old Testament. And in the YouVersion app, just scroll down to Proverbs and then tap on chapter 1. And we're going to be looking at verses 1 to 7 today. And as I said, throughout the next 2 months, the elders and I are going to be bouncing kind of all over the place. We're not going to go in order. But I wanted to use today to set up what a proverb is and why wisdom matters. And why this series, frankly, exists and why it's in the Bible, too. So let me just read for you Proverbs chapter 1, verses 1 to 7, and I'm going to break it down for you in a little bit. But it starts with this. It says, "The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for gaining wisdom and instruction, for understanding words of insight, for receiving instruction in prudent behavior, doing what is right and just and fair. For giving prudence to those who are simple, knowledge and discretion to the young, let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance. For understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." So the very first part of the very first verse, or at least the very first verse, says this, The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David. So this is an introduction to the book, to where we're going throughout this book. And I will say that the Proverbs, and I'll talk about what a proverb is in a second, but these, some of them are from Solomon. Solomon, as it says here, was the son of King David. His mom was Bathsheba. If you know the story of David and Bathsheba and the affair that he had with her and killing her husband, that's this Solomon. And Solomon, God came to Solomon and said, "Solomon, you can have anything you want. And what would you like it to be?" And Solomon said, "I'd like to have great wisdom." And so God granted him that and gave him great wisdom. So Proverbs is a collection of wisdom from Solomon, but there are also others that wrote in the book of Proverbs. So they're not all directly from Solomon. If people categorize it, they generally say this is a book written by Solomon. But there's other Proverbs there. There's Agar and there's Lemuel and other different people that have written Proverbs that are recorded for us in the book of Proverbs. But it is a collection of these Proverbs that were written. So what is a proverb? A proverb, as I already said, is simply, and this is important, it's important to understand the literature you're reading, as we talked about, the type of literature in the Bible, because if you don't understand what you're reading, you will interpret it incorrectly, and you will probably end up with a cropped passage that's cut out of context for what it actually means. So the first thing is that a proverb is simply a true-to-life statement of observation. It's simply a statement of observation. That fan is spinning. That is a true-to-life statement of observation. If I said that fan is jumping, that probably is not true-to-life because that's not... No, it's not jumping. We've had some fans that do that, but not that one. But it's simply an observation and a statement that's true to life. So that fan is spinning. That is a true to life statement. Proverbs are simply Solomon and the other writers, the other authors, observing normal everyday things, and then they make a point or they teach a deeper truth. They teach a truth that matters. And the second thing to understand about a proverb is that this means that proverbs are descriptive of the way things are. Descriptive. The root of descriptive is describe. Meaning, a proverb is simply describing the way something is. So a proverb might start with, "As I was observing the spinning of the fan." That is a true-to-life statement. It is a description of the way things are, but not necessarily prescriptive of what will be. And this is important. This is important. So what that means is that a prescription or prescribed is something that is set as a course of action or a plan. Your doctor will give you a prescription. It's not actually the medicine, we refer to it that way, but it's actually that here is a plan for dealing with whatever. It's for dealing with your cholesterol, as I talked about last week. It is a prescription. So a proverb is not necessarily prescriptive of what will be. So I'm totally thinking off the cuff here, but as I observe the spinning of the fan, I am reminded of the ways we turn back and back again to our sin. That might be a proverb. It is a description of something that is observed, and then a statement of something that is true. But it does not mean that every time I observe a fan, I will automatically start sinning. Do you get the difference? One is a description of something it is and something we can learn from it, but it doesn't mean every time this happens, that will happen. It is not, Proverbs are not if-then statements. Proverbs do not mean if you do this thing, then this will always be the way it is. It's an observation of those kind of things. So taking it back to the Karate Kid, what that means is that Daniel, and I should put it the right way, he can observe waxing a car and learn karate. And so the proverb would be, you know, wax on, wax off, and you will learn karate. That's the observation. That is a proverb from what Daniel's son did. But it does not mean, so that's a descriptive, that's description. Waxing the car can teach karate. That's something. But a prescriptive, an if-then understanding of Proverbs, which would be incorrect, would be that when you wax your car, you will learn karate. Do you understand the difference between those two things? One says, I'm observing this, and I've noticed that people that wax their cars can learn karate. That's a proverb. It does not mean that when you wax your car, you will automatically learn karate. This is important because as you look at Proverbs, there are just some observations about life, and there are things that are totally true. Totally true. You know, the later past bedtime it gets, the more your kids will whine. That could be a proverb. That's a true-to-life statement, things that we've observed. So the moral or the point for that would be, don't let your kids stay up too late and they won't be whining. But it doesn't mean that if it is past their bedtime, automatically they will begin whining. Do you see the difference? Just give me something. Anybody? Yes? No? Okay, does that make sense? So it is a description of something. It's an observation of something. But it doesn't mean if you do this, then this will happen. And that's one of the problems when you read Proverbs. If you're reading it with a prescriptive mindset, an if-then mindset, it's going to be very confusing because you're going to be like, I did those things, and how come that thing didn't happen? It's because it's not meant to be, do this and that will happen. It's meant to say, here's something that the writer has observed and some things that we can learn from it. Observations, there's plenty of observations. I've observed that playing in traffic will lead to your death. It's a legitimate observation, but it doesn't mean that every time you play in traffic, you will instantly die. Do you see the distinction? Just nod again, pretending like you do. Good, because we're going to move on. But that's important to understand as we go through this entire series, because it's going to be something that we're going to learn some true-to-life statements and some wisdom that we can gain from that, but you're not going to just go, this happens, and then this will automatically happen. So, first of all, why Proverbs? And the cool thing is that Solomon here, at the beginning of Proverbs, explains what it's all about. The first thing, you thought it was the hokey pokey, but this is what it's all about. The first thing is that it's for learning wisdom. For learning wisdom. Why do we have Proverbs? Why are they there? For learning wisdom. And in verse 2, the first part, he says, for gaining wisdom and instruction. And this phrase, gaining, it means to be aware of, to be known. And I'm not going to get into all the Hebrew here. There's a lot of Hebrew words here. But many of the words for learning, wisdom, knowledge, what other things we're going to gaining, instruction, almost all of the uses of these words in Hebrew, as how Solomon wrote, that was the language he spoke, that every instance, almost every instance, the words mean to experience something. So it's not just I saw this and I walked away. And I could tell you that the Pythagorean theorem is A squared plus B squared equals C squared. I learned that in geometry. You may have learned that in geometry too. It was a book thing. But I remember, so that's knowledge, head knowledge, right? But I remember when we were here about 11, 12 years ago, beginning the construction on this building, that we were trying to figure out the dimensions of a side. And DJ Walters totally busted out the Pythagorean theorem. And he's like, oh, well, that's easy. It's A squared plus B squared. This is the number here. And that's the answer. And we're like, oh, that's actually useful? Like, it was crazy to me. Like, it actually mattered. And that's the kind of learning, the word that we're looking here is that it's one thing to know in your head, but when we talk about Proverbs, with this gaining wisdom, this is something that we can apply. This is living. This is learning. This is experiencing something. And so he says, this is for gaining wisdom and instruction. And so I wanted to talk to you about this word wisdom and why wisdom is a little bit different than perhaps what we think. First of all, wisdom does not necessarily mean old. There are a lot of old people that are not wise. That doesn't mean that you're automatically, you know, you can't be wise if you're young. But wisdom isn't necessarily discerning between right and wrong. There are things that are right and there are things that are wrong. And let me just say, that should be a no-brainer. If it's wrong, you don't do it. That's the way it should be. If it's right, do it. If it's wrong, you don't do it. But, and as the intro video said, it's wisdom comes into play when there's like, okay, well, this thing is right, and so is this. Neither of them are sin. Neither of them are wrong. So what do I do? Because I can't do both. What do I do? And that's where wisdom comes into play. And the question that we need to ask, and we can ask all series long, is this not the right or the wrong thing to do? If it's the wrong thing to do, I can give you the answer. No, don't do it. It's not a question of is this the right or the wrong thing to do. It's is this the wise thing to do? Because there are good things that we can do that are good and not sinful, but maybe not wise. I get up on Sunday mornings at 6 a.m., to just go over the point, to study, and to do all that. And because of that, my nighttime Saturday night is a little bit more regimented. A couple of nights ago, it was like, oh man, what time is it? It was 12:40. What the heck am I doing awake at 12:40 in the morning? Because we were watching a show and we were just enjoying the show. And so wisdom says there's nothing wrong with me staying up till 12:40 in the morning on a Saturday night. But wisdom steps in and says, okay, Sean, because of what's going to happen the next morning, because you're going to get up in about 5 hours from that point, wisdom says go to bed earlier. Do you get that? That's what wisdom is. It's choosing. It's not between right and wrong as much as it's choosing between the things that are wiser. And again, sometimes right and wrong is built into that. And maybe wisdom steps in and someone else says, hey, look, actually, that's wrong. And then, oh, okay, good. Now I realize that I can learn that. And so the whole book of Proverbs is about learning this wisdom, understanding what is the difference between right and wrong, learning from your mistakes, asking the question, what is the wise thing to do? And so all this comes back to wisdom. The second thing is that Proverbs is good for living right. Or maybe it's living rightly, because that's an adverb. But living right, and the whole thing is that Solomon says, look, these truths, these observations, are going to help us learn to live right. Because sometimes there is a right and a wrong, but we can't quite see it. We can't quite see it. I was just talking to someone earlier this week about, and I shared this before, how we're like vampires when it comes to our own sin. Because we can't see ourselves in the mirror. We can't see it. Everyone else around you is like, oh, that is wrong. But in the mirror, we can't tell that what's right or wrong. And so the point of Proverbs is there's going to be an observation, a true-to-life observation that's going to help us understand what is right and what is wrong. So Proverbs help us to do that, and that's what verse 3 says. For receiving instruction in prudent behavior, doing what is right and just and fair. And this word prudent we're going to see a couple times here. It means to have wisdom or skill or to pay attention. And so this isn't just like something, oh yeah, good, that's good to know. No, I'm going to be, I've learned now because of these proverbs, because of the wisdom that I've gained. Now I'm going to be intentional. I'm going to be skillful. I'm going to be prudent in deciding what is right and what is wrong. So the second thing is it's for living right. The third thing is that it's for giving direction. And this is, I love this verse here. Because Proverbs is, again, it's something that is for everyone. And also, as we said, you know, it's not necessarily the right and the wrong, but here's two things that are good. Which one do I choose? Which is the wise thing to do? And Proverbs give direction. Not sure what to do? Study Proverbs. There's probably a true-to-life statement there that you're like, oh, yeah, I've seen that happen before. Oh, that makes perfect sense. And I don't know how you communicate with people around you, especially if you're an expert in your field. This is usually what will happen a lot of times. You know, you might be, I don't know, you might be a postal carrier. We've got a few of those around here. You might be a postmaster. And there's things, I'm totally picking on Kirk and Dave. There's Dave. Now he's shaking his head. Yeah, there are things that happen in the postal service that I just don't understand. I don't get it. I'm not a postal carrier. I've never worked there. But if I were to say, hey, Kirk, can you explain how that happens? He might say something to the effect of, oh, it's a lot like when you put a bagel in a toaster. You know, and I don't understand how the postal service works, but I do understand bagels and toasters. And so it'll be something that'll teach a truth to give us some wisdom. And so how is it that my mail never gets there? Well, you remember when you put a bagel in a toaster and it catches fire and burns into nothing? Maybe that's the example. I don't know. But that's the whole idea of Proverbs. And so they are to help us know what to do. And I love this verse, these two verses specifically, because it says, it's for given prudence to those who are simple. And this word simple means those who aren't quite wise yet. You're not quite there. Maybe you don't make the best choices. Hey, Proverbs is the book for you. This is going to help you understand by like, oh, I don't get postal workers, I don't get the postal service, but I get bagels and toasters. And for our own lives, I don't understand how this concept works, but I understand the observation that Solomon just made. And so it's going to give prudence to those that are simple. And then it says knowledge and discretion. Again, this is that word. Knowledge has to do with experience and learning to those that are young. So I'm not very wise. Hey, Proverbs is the book for you. Oh, I'm young. I haven't had much experience in life. So experiences, right? Oh, Proverbs is the book for you. And then it goes on and says, let the wise listen and add to their learning. Wait, I'm pretty wise. I've got some serious wisdom under my belt. And Solomon says, oh, this book's for you too. You can learn. You can add to your learning. You can learn even more. So don't be like, oh, I already know all this stuff. I mean, how often do we do that? Oh, I know this. There's nothing you can teach me. And then we're in a bad spot. And Solomon says, no, we can all learn from this. And then he says, and let the discerning get guidance. And this word discerning has to do with more of the age. So it's for the young and the old, the wise and the unwise. This book is for everyone. And it's to give us guidance, give us direction. You're not sure what to do? What is the wise thing to do? Let's look at Proverbs. Maybe there's some things that we can learn from this idea of wisdom and this idea of living right. The fourth thing is that it's for knowing truth. Proverbs helps us know truth. And there's actually two parts here in verse... that's a typo. No, it's not. In verse 2b, which I jumped over, and then over in verse 6, this is what's written. For understanding words of insight, and also for understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings of the wise, sayings and riddles of the wise. And so studying Proverbs will actually help us understand deeper truths. And again, it comes back to an observation of life. And if you read through Proverbs, you're like, this sounds like the same thing over and over. Because we're learning, Solomon is teaching, and the other authors of Proverbs are teaching deeper truths based on some very simple concepts. And again, if you're an expert in your field, or you know something that someone else doesn't and they don't understand, you might explain it. Oh, let me tell you about this. You understand how this works? You understand how a tire spins, a wheel spins when you're on the road? Oh, that's exactly how, you know, whatever. And so this understanding Proverbs help us to understand deeper truths because they're broken down into a little bit more understandable, a little more basic concepts. And again, as you hear over the next 2 months, there's just a very basic statement. And it's easy for us to be like, oh, this is so dumb. Yeah, is it? Or maybe we can learn something because these basic truths teach us something that is deeper. And that's and what we didn't see in that Karate Kid scene there was right before that moment where he says, show me, wax on, wax off. Daniel has been doing all these things. He's been painting the fence. He's been painting the house. He's been sanding the floor, did all the cars, and he was fed up. He's like, Mr. Miyagi, I thought you were going to teach me karate. Why are you wasting my time? This is dumb. And then he says, well, show me wax on, wax off, and then does the whole, you know, showing Daniel that he's learned through these basic things, he's learned how to do, how do you do karate? How to karate? Is karate a verb or is it a noun? How to be karate? How to fight like a karate? Anyway, if you know how that word works, just let me know. I'm not sure. So, but the point is, it was a basic thing, and he was ready to blow it off and give up. But in the process, he was learning deeper truths. And again, that's for Proverbs for us, for knowing truth. But finally, the whole point of all of this isn't to make us just smarter. It isn't even just to make us wiser. It's for honoring God. The whole point of all of this is that we're learning these, looking at these basic observations about life to learn these deeper truths. So by knowing them, we will do them. So that we will live for God. So that we will honor God. As I said earlier, you know, when it comes to knowing truth, it's not a matter of just knowing it. Living right isn't a matter of just knowing what the right thing to do is. It's actually doing it. And all this is for honoring God. And the very last verse of this section says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And this phrase, fear, it means terror. It means, oh crap, I need to change my pants. It is a word that means just complete, abject fear. And Solomon says, look, if we understand who God truly is, in who He is in total, His character, His nature, His amazing majesty, His awesomeness, His holiness, which means He's set apart, He's unique, He's distinct. If we really understand who God is, we will be afraid. Because that is how amazing He is. And as we talked about last week, but God wasn't content with us being, you know, just afraid and stuck in our sinfulness. He sent His Son for us. So there's just this beautiful interplay of God is the scariest thing ever. And I don't know if thing is the right word, but God is the scariest God ever. And yet He loves us immensely. And so Solomon says all these things are for wisdom. So what is it? Fear of the Lord is the beginning of that wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. If you want to really get a grasp for what this is all about, it's all about honoring God. And then he goes on the flip side and says, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. And if you want to blow this off, Solomon says, well, you're an idiot. Sorry. Because really what all this comes down to, it's not wisdom for wisdom's sake. It's not just to have book smarts. It's not just to know A squared plus B squared equals C squared. It's for doing it. Over in chapter 9, verse 10, Solomon says it this way. He says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. He says, all of this, everything that we're going to be talking about over the next 2 months, isn't just so that we make wise choices. It's so that when we make wise choices, we can honor God in it. Because He is the one we need to be concerned about. And we're going to talk about that in a little bit. Like, it's not about the people around us. It's not looking impressive. It's not trying to be the smartest person in the room. It's not trying to be the best that you are, the prettiest, or the whateverest. The thing that really matters is what God thinks about us. And so Solomon and the other authors have collected these observations so that we can learn through these basic truths some deep things, some wisdom, and that we can not just know it, but do it. And so that is why Proverbs. That's what we're going to be talking about all month long. That's what the elders are going to be teaching. This is so that we can honor God. We're going to be talking about honoring God with our work ethic. We're going to be talking about honoring God with our money. We're going to be talking about honoring God with our friendships and the connections we have. We're going to talk about honoring God and what is right and what is wrong. I mean, and that's just a sample of some of the stuff, because it's all about honoring God. That is the goal of Proverbs. So, the point is, wise up and understand wisdom. Wisdom is for helping us know what is the best thing to do. What is the not? Sometimes it is the right and wrong because we don't see the wrong. And then sometimes it's, okay, these two things are both right. What do we do? And that's what wisdom is. It's not just because you're old. It's not just because you've got a really long beard and you can stroke it. It's not because you sit on top of a mountain in like the, what is that, the lotus position, what they call it, the yoga, whatever, the with your legs crossed, crisscross applesauce. None of that. Like, wisdom is knowing what the right thing to do is, the best thing to do is, the wisest thing to do is, and doing it. If you know it but don't do it, you're not wise. There's a difference there. So, why is wisdom worth it? Let's just talk a little bit about, why does this matter? Why does it matter? And again, we're going to take this as an intro for the next 7 weeks. But why is wisdom worth it? We need it. You and I need wisdom. We need to be wise. And there's some very simple, I think, somewhat simple things, maybe not easy, but simple. Some simple concepts. The first thing is that wisdom is necessary in the world. As a follower of Jesus, you and I need wisdom because of the world in which we live. Because sometimes things that were used to be wrong are now considered right. Sometimes things that used to be right are now considered wrong. Sometimes because things are still the same. Some things have changed. You have changed. I have changed. The world has changed. There's all these different things that are different. And so you can't even live yesterday like you live today. And that doesn't mean you're going along with culture. I'm just saying you're a different person. Life changes. Life comes at us quickly. And so in Ephesians, Paul writes this to the church in Ephesus. He says to the followers of Jesus there, he says, be very careful then how you live. Be careful how you live. He's talking to all the people that are followers of Jesus. Be very careful how you live. Okay, thanks, Paul. What does that look like? He says, not as unwise, but as wise. So Paul has given very specific instructions that we need wisdom. We need to be very careful how we live, not as unwise, but as wise. Okay, that's great. We need to make the most of every opportunity. And I think that's one question. You know, do we make the most of every opportunity? I'll get to that later. I'll worry about that some other time. Oh, it doesn't matter right now. That's not a big deal. Whatever. Paul says, no, no. Be very careful how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. So a wise person makes the most of every opportunity. Okay, Paul, good. Why? He says, because the days are evil. Here's what Paul is saying. If we, and this is 2,000 years ago, and things are evil. Sin is sin. Like, there's sin all over. We just have different titles for it. It looks differently today than it did then. But sin is still sin. And Paul says, look, you guys, we need to be careful how we live, man. Things are messed up. And if we just let this world kind of dictate, if we let this world guide us, if we let our culture determine where we go, we are not going to be honoring God. We're not fearing the Lord. We are at that point fearing culture. We are not at that point fearing the Lord. We're fearing what other people might think about us. And Paul says, be very careful. Make the most of every opportunity because we are living in an evil world. 2,000 years ago, today, 2,000 years before that. Like, sin is rampant. And so Paul says, be very careful how you live. Don't live as unwise, but live as wise. Live as wise people, making the most of every opportunity. So if you're just going along with the culture, you're not being wise. And then he says, therefore, do not be foolish. And you're going to hear the word foolish a lot over the next 2 months. Because a fool is not wise. You might think, I already showed a Karate Kid clip so I can say this. You might think that Mr. T wrote a lot of Proverbs. And if you think that's funny or understand that, you also probably saw The Karate Kid when it came into theaters. If you don't understand that, it's because you're not as old as I am. But But the pity of the fool, the whole idea of a foolish thing. Solomon talks about a fool a lot because a fool is someone that doesn't act wise. And so Paul says to us today as followers of Jesus, don't be foolish. How are you not foolish? Understand what the Lord's will is. And he actually goes on and shares some more thoughts about what that might look like. But the point is this. He says, we're living in an evil world. Sin is everywhere. Culture is never going to choose God over sin. That's just the way the world is. That's what sin is like. And we need to fix it. And Jesus came onto the scene to begin that process. And one day he will return and fix it all. But for now, Paul says, be very careful how you live. Don't be unwise. Be wise. Make the most of every opportunity. And how do you do that? By understanding what God wants of you. Understand what God wants from you. Live for Him. Do what He wants. And a couple of months ago, I remember we talked about, like, people are like, what's God's will? Just in you version, search God's will. And there are, like, multiple passages. I'm going to go with maybe six, depending on your translation, that will say, here is what the Lord's will is. And then it says it. And so before we're like, well, I don't know what God's will is, I can't do it. Just start with those and then come back to me later, okay? But most of us don't even cover those few things where God specifically says, this is what the Lord's will is. And so Paul is saying, look, we are living in a culture, we need wisdom so that we can know what it is that God wants us to do, because the culture is going to keep pushing us away from Him. And that's not just 2022 culture. Again, that's the culture of the history of the world since the Garden of Eden. And so we need wisdom so that we can do what it is that God wants us to do. In this world, we need to be able to know. Yeah, we need to have wisdom to navigate this world. And the question we can keep asking ourselves is, in this situation, making the most of every opportunity, what is the wise thing to do? What is the wise thing to do? If it's the wise thing to do is the right thing, yes. If it's a question of, I don't know, is this right or wrong? Maybe you need to talk to other people that have gained wisdom. And then maybe there's two things that are both good, and you just need, what is the wise thing here? So we need wisdom it's necessary in the world. The second thing is that wisdom, why is wisdom worth it? Because wisdom is obedience to the Word of God, and to the Bible, to understanding what God wants for us. And so we need wisdom so that we can obey. And if you grew up in church, if you were a part of a church as a child and were in like a Sunday school or something like that, maybe you went to a vacation Bible school, you probably have heard this passage. And you probably have heard it cropped. you probably have heard it in a way that is taken out of context. But in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus is telling a parable. He's telling a story here to teach something. He says, anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise. Wise. Now, before I get into the rest of the story, what you probably heard was, God's word is like, not anyone who listens and follows it. Like a person, anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise. Like a person who builds a house on a solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents and the floodwaters rise and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it is built on bedrock. And then the second part was, but anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey is foolish. Doesn't obey is foolish. Like a person who builds his house on sand, when the rains and floods come and the winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. So you probably learned that the rock is Jesus. And we need to build our faith on the rock like the wise man built his house upon the rock. And maybe he had a song and motions and all that stuff with it. But what is Jesus is not saying that he is the rock. He is not the bedrock. He is not the firm foundation. He's not saying that in this passage. He is, in fact, a firm foundation. But that's not what he's saying here. He's saying anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise. And so the whole point is that we are, what makes us wise? It doesn't mean knowing the Bible. It doesn't mean reading the Bible. It doesn't mean that you read the Bible for hours and hours and hours a day. It doesn't mean that you can recite and quote the Bible. It means you follow it. It means you obey it. It means you do it. That is the foundation that Jesus is talking about here. And so we need wisdom because a wise person knows his teaching, listens, and then does it. Listens and obeys. Listens and observes. And does what Jesus is telling us to do. If you listen to his teaching and don't obey, you're a fool. You're an idiot. Oh yeah, I heard that passage. Okay, what are you going to do about it? Well, okay, you're a fool. You're an idiot. He says wisdom is about obeying what we know. And so the question is, how good is your wisdom? Are you actually one who knows God's word or hears it? Frankly, you're hearing it right now. Are you willing to obey it? That's what wisdom is. So wisdom is necessary. It's obedience to the word. Wisdom is necessary in the world because we're in an evil culture. Sin is everywhere. Wisdom is obedience to the word. We need wisdom because it helps us obey God's word and do it. Like, that's what wisdom is actually doing it. And then finally, wisdom shares hope for the world. And here's another example. This is a letter that Paul wrote to the church he planted in Colossae. And he talks to the followers of Jesus in this church there, and he says, "Live wisely among those who are not believers." Why does he say that? Because we have truth. We have the hope of Jesus. We have the only thing that can solve the problems. And that doesn't mean fix them and clean them up. But internally, frankly, eternally, Jesus is the hope of the world. And so Paul says, look, followers of Jesus, you need to live wisely among those who are not believers. Make right choices. Make wise choices. Do things the right way. He says, and make the most of every opportunity. Here's that same phrase. So it's one thing to be careful about the culture affecting us and guiding us, but when we're in the culture, we need to be wise about how we act around those that do not know Jesus, that do not follow Jesus. He says, let your conversation be gracious and attractive so that you will have the right response for everyone. Paul says, church, we need to be wise about how we live around those that aren't followers of Jesus. We need to be wise how we talk to them, how we respond. Are we like, oh, yeah, you're such a sinner. You're going to hell. True, but not wise. There's a difference. He says, live wisely among those who are not followers of Jesus. Because we have the hope of the world. And so wisdom knows when to share. When to share. And sometimes when doesn't... I don't know. I wouldn't say I was raised this way, but I was definitely around a culture where, you need to share Jesus with everyone right away all the time. And that's not wrong, but if someone is hurting or physically, if they're in a car accident, help them get out of the car instead of letting them sit there and share Jesus with them with the airbag in their face. Like, help meet their needs. Trigo y Miel, they are sharing Jesus, the feeding program in Oaxaca. They are sharing Jesus, but they are feeding people first. Saying, hey, you need food, we're going to help meet those needs, and then. And that is wisdom. Because they're not going to be like, hey, come here and let's hear about Jesus. They're like, I don't care about Jesus, but here's what I do know. My belly is empty. And so wisdom says, when is the time? When is the right time? And those times will be there. Those times will be obvious. And those times will say, God, guide me. Show me what is the wise thing to do here. But the other thing is how. How to share. And I think that's one of the things, like, can we stop using Facebook? Like, don't use Facebook to try to share Jesus with people. because it's not a conversation. It's not a relationship. There's just so many things, and you have everybody else weighing in on the things that don't even know what's actually happening there. Like, that, I would say that that is unwise. If you want to use a private message to someone, that's fine, but don't be, you know, just that, I don't think that is living wisely among those that are not believers, because I think the not believers are like, well, I don't want any of that. Oh, wait, you go to a church somewhere? I'm never going to be a part of that church. Let's flip that on its head a little bit. Facebook also, if you were on Facebook yesterday, you saw a post that got shared and shared and shared and shared and shared dozens of times that said, thank you so much for helping to sponsor the fireworks so that we could enjoy that in our town. And right at the top, thank you to our sponsors, the MC3 logo, second name, Mifflin County Community Church. And now, are fireworks in need? No. They're not. But I feel like we have created, like, oh, I know those people. That's that church that they cared enough about our community to help sponsor the fireworks. They people showed up here in our parking lot yesterday. I mean, I don't know how many were at Crisco. I don't know how many, oh, there you are, back there. They gave out a stack of invite cards to the many people that don't go to church that were in our parking lot. And the whole street. Like, and so I think there's wisdom there. And so how does it look like to share the truth of Jesus? It takes wisdom. You need to be wise around those that are not believers. Because you can have meaningful, deep conversations with someone. And you guys have done this. You've had a conversation, or had someone else has been having a conversation, and you kind of come in to the end of the conversation, or someone comes into the end of your conversation, and what they hear is not exactly what you've been talking about. It sounds really bad, or it sounds really weird. And that's the deal, is that sometimes there are conversations that we need to have face-to-face. We need to be wise in how those conversations look, because wisdom shares hope for the world. So that's why wisdom is worth it. Just some things. This whole series, learning wisdom, gaining wisdom, because sometimes we just need to ask, not what's right or wrong. Oh, I know what's right or wrong. These two things are both right. We need to ask, what's the wise thing to do here? What is the wise thing to do with my attitude? What is the wise thing to do with my money? What is the wise thing to do with my job? What is the wise thing to do when it comes to discipline? What is the wise thing to do when it comes to living righteously? What does that look like? So, wise up and understand wisdom. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for the wisdom that is in it. And as we embark into this journey into the book of Proverbs, God, I thank you that, thank you for Solomon. I thank you for those authors that you have led to record these observations that seem very basic, but can teach us deep truths about you and about honoring you and about fearing you and about loving you and about obeying you. And so I pray, God, I know that today was not the most exciting content, but that you would help us to understand the benefits and the value of wisdom and the value of learning to make wise choices in every moment, making the most of every opportunity so that the world and culture doesn't squeeze us into its mold, and so that we are able, with the wisdom that we have in sharing you, we are able to draw people to Jesus. We pray that you would give us the strength to do that. Thank you so much for your love for us. Thank you that our fear of you is totally balanced by your love for us. In Jesus' name, amen.